Owen Deathstalker entered the maze cautiously, disruptor in one hand, sword in the other. Up close, the bright shimmering of the steel walls was almost painful, no matter how he scrunched up his eyes. Static sparked in the air around him and rustled in his hair. It was bitter cold in the maze, and his breath steamed on the air before him. He shivered despite himself and immediately looked back, ready to make some remark so his companions wouldn't think he was shivering from fear, and only then realized he was completely alone. He quickly retraced his steps, but although he had only made a few twists and turns in the maze, he couldn't find his way back to his friends or the entrance. He called out, and his voice echoed loudly in the silence, but there was no reply. He started to shout again, then stopped himself. He had a strong feeling someone or something was listening, and it wasn't any of his companions. He activated his comm implant and subvocalized his message just in case.
"This is Owen. Can anyone hear me? Please respond. Oz, can you hear me? Oz, are you there?"
There was no sound at all over his implant, not even static. He was on his own. He scowled, hefted his gun and his sword, and moved on, heading deeper into the maze. At first he checked the floor for hidden trapdoors and the walls for hidden mechanisms, but slowly it came to him that the maze's secrets would be more subtle than that. He tried taking only left-hand turns, and then left followed by right, but finally he made his choices at random, in response to some deeper, more receptive instinct. Time passed, until he had no idea of how far he'd come, or how far the maze stretched. He forgot about the Imperial Star Cruiser, or even why he'd entered the maze in the first place. There were only the steel walls and the twists and turns of the path, leading him remorselessly on towards something momentous. It seemed to him he could hear breathing, slow and steady and gigantic, gusting about him like a warm, wet breeze. And above and beyond that, the regular distant thudding of an enormous heart. Neither of them were in any way real, and he knew it. It was just his mind trying to interpret something new in ways he could understand. The feeling of being watched was stronger than ever, only there was more to it than that. It was as though the maze was somehow alive and aware of his presence in it. Not like a rat in a scientist's test or an antibody in a bloodstream, but more as though he was the final component in an equation that had never before been completed. He put his sword and gun away and wandered on, drawn by something or the promise of something he could not name. He saw faces and heard voices. There were lights and sounds, and images from his past surged around him like a returning tide, implacable and unrelenting. He met the wolfling for the first time again, half man and half beast, made not begotten, and then abandoned by his creators because he was so much more than they had intended. Owen would never have done such a thing. He had always wanted children, but never considered himself worthy of them. He wanted them to have a real father, not like the distant authority figure that was all he'd ever known. Again, he saw Giles for the first time, held in his shimmering pillar of light like an insect trapped in amber, ancestor and legend, and so much more. More and less than Owen had imagined him to be. The great warrior he had been trained to emulate since he was a child, a perfection never to be equaled. A tired old man in greasy furs, burdened by successes and failures alike, guilty of mass murder, clinging desperately to the honor of the Deathstalker clan. Owen fought his way through the deadly jungles of Chandrakor, virulent with life, red in tooth and claw, horrid shapes out of nightmares that came at him from every side, fighting back with sword and gun, fighting on because there was nothing else to do. He could not, would not, turn and run while his companions needed him. Back. Back. Once again, he walked the narrow cobbled streets of Mistport, snow crunching under his boots, the fog like a pearly gray sea. He met Ruby Journey, cold and fearsome, and Jack Random, so much more fallibly human than his legend. He knelt on the blood-spattered snow, beside a young girl wrapped in tattered furs. She sobbed hopelessly over her mutilated legs, and there was so much blood. His arms were crimson with it to the elbows, and it dripped from his fingers. She was just a child. And for all his strength and skills and status, he was helpless to do anything for her, to undo the terrible thing he'd done to her. He stood his ground, alone and beleaguered by a pack of blood-hungry killers, so that Hazel might have a chance to escape. He cut and hacked and watched them die beneath his blade, but there were just too many of them, and in the end, they dragged him down. And part of him said he deserved it. He fought on anyway. It was all he knew how to do. And then Hazel returned with Moon to save him. The Hayden Man. Boogeyman. To be watched and studied, but never ever trusted. He fought his own guards on the grassy hillsides of Viramond, cutting down familiar faces suffused with rage and greed. He killed his mistress, Kathy DeVries, and held her in his arms as she died. He'd cared for her, but when the moment came, he cut her down without hesitating. That was how he'd been trained. Historian, warrior, fighter, killer. He talked with his father, revered head of the Deathstalker clan, who had time for everyone and everything but his own son.
I wasn't really such a bad father, was I?
Owen wanted to love him, tried to admire him, but always they were separated by different visions of faith and strength and honor. Bound by blood, thrust apart by politics. Owen never knew how important his father was to him until he was gone, and he was left alone in a hostile world. He ran away to Viramond, hiding in his histories, hoping not to be noticed, wanting no part of the politics and intrigues that had killed his father, wanting to be a scholar, not a warrior, closing his ears to what he didn't want to hear. Owen's thoughts swirled backward, faster and faster, pausing here and there at important moments and faces. The passing moments of his life that gave it shape and meaning, held up before him so that he could understand them and choose which were really important. Back and back, deeper and deeper. Courage, love, honor. Until he reached the inner core, where all things are decided. He looked back over his life from beginning to end, seeing everything clearly for the first time, and embraced what was really important to him. To be a warrior and a man of honor, defined by duties willingly accepted in the defense of friends and a cherished cause. To protect those who suffered and punish the guilty. To fight to see an end to fighting, to care for those the Empire had persecuted. To be a hero to those in need. To be a Deathstalker. The Madness Maze took the man called Owen Deathstalker, reduced him to his essentials, and then rebuilt him, leaving him stronger and more focused than he had ever been before. The dross had been discarded, the merits polished till they shone. He saw clearly now and would not look away. The maze gave him gifts that he would need and its blessing. And then it let him wake up. Owen looked around him. Awake and alert, his memories already fading like an interrupted dream. Something had happened, something wonderful. But already he was forgetting, because no man could bear to see himself too clearly. His thoughts were bright and sharp, like the air after a storm has passed. He felt invigorated, cleansed, his life burning within him like a beacon. He was standing in a wide circular space surrounded by the steel walls that he immediately understood to be the center of the madness maze, the heart of the storm, where all was quiet and at peace. The others were with him, and they all looked different. It was a difference he recognized. They all looked sharper, more distinctly themselves, than they had been before.
So that's what the maze is for. Wolf tried to explain it to me, but I never could understand. We've been reborn, given a second chance, and all our sins forgiven.
What the hell are you talking about? I feel like I've just come out of a week's drunk and there are things I should remember.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Nothing happened. Nothing at all.
No, something happened. I was somewhere else. Why can't I remember?
Because your mind has undergone shock treatment. And for the sake of your sanity, you are forgetting the pain. You have been born again, and birth is always traumatic.
Ruby looked at him suspiciously.
You're not going religious on us, are you? That's all we need, an evangelical werewolf.
Whatever it was of the spirit as well as the mind. I've never felt so clear, so focused. How do you feel, Moon?
An interesting experience. There were equations like dreams, explaining everything. Pure mathematics, spiraling upward to infinity. I was at the center of the universe, and I felt like I could reach out and touch everything. It seemed to last forever, but according to my internal records, only a few moments have passed since we entered the maze. I would suggest that we have all encountered a very sophisticated mind probe.
No, there was more to it than that. The maze seemed alive.
Wolf finished for him. And everyone nodded at that, even Ruby. Why is it called the Madness Maze? I've never felt more sane in my life.
Because most people who go into the maze don't come out intact. Somewhere along the way, they lose their minds. Not everyone can face the reality of what they really are, behind all the masks and evasions. Most go mad. I'm not sure whether that's because they see too much in the maze, or because they won't let themselves see enough. For some, even madness isn't enough protection. They die.
Wait just a minute there. How many go mad and die?
So far, only 22 out of the hundreds of people who passed through the maze emerged intact, including you. I'm really very impressed by your achievement. I wouldn't have put money on it.
Hazel glared at Giles furiously.
And you just let us walk right into it? No warnings, nothing? I ought to cut your heart out.
Damn right!
Everyone had turned so that their guns were covering Giles, but he seemed entirely unmoved.
It was necessary. You wanted to get your hands on the Dark Void device, didn't you? Well, I've brought you to it. This is the one place I can safely leave it. In the heart of the Madness Maze.
He turned and walked away, ignoring the guns. And after a moment, the others followed him. In the center of the open space stood a large, glowing crystal, roughly circular, some 4 feet in diameter. Giles stood next to the crystal, carefully not touching it, and stared into the glow. His face softened just a little, and he smiled. The others crowded around the crystal, drawn by curiosity and the smile on Giles' face. Only the wolfling hung back. Owen leaned over the crystal, and the glow deepened, becoming warm and golden as it revealed what lay within. And there, wrapped in a single blanket, lay a tiny human baby. No more than a few weeks old, its details were still soft and settling, but its face was clear and distinct, the plump cheeks slightly flushed. It was sleeping quietly, breathing slow and steady, around the thumb in its mouth. It looked beautiful and innocent and entirely helpless.
He is my clone. My son, in every way that matters. A Deathstalker, born of my blood. I was experimenting with a new process to produce Esper clones of extraordinary power. He was the result. He's known very little of life, by my design. The last time he was awake, he used his Esper abilities at my instigation, and a thousand suns disappeared. Just like that. I had created the Dark Void. I'm the most powerful weapon ever known. So powerful, I didn't dare let it ever be used again. I lowered him carefully into the deepest form of sleep and brought him here. With the Wolfling's help, I teleported him into the center of the Madness Maze, where he could sleep undisturbed, surrounded by instruments to preserve and protect him, and to ensure that he never wakened again. Worlds have risen and fallen, the universe has turned, and still he sleeps on. All his needs are taken care of. He does not age. What happens now is up to you.
Why didn't you put him in stasis?
Stasis has no effect on him. Very little does.
Kill it. Destroy the unnatural thing. It's more dangerous than any weapon ever could be. It's a monster. Kill it now while we still can.
No. This is too important for us to just turn our backs on it. I think we're looking at the next stage in human evolution. Why didn't you destroy him? You created him. You must have arranged some kind of safeguard. The Deathstalker shrugged, still looking at the baby.
I couldn't. Perhaps if he's allowed to grow older, he'll be able to bring the sons of the Dark Void back again.
And what about all the people on all the worlds who died as a result of the Dark Void? What about them?
Giles looked up and smiled at her.
Maybe he'll bring them back, too.
There was a long pause as everyone thought about that. Owen looked across the crystal at Moon. You're being very quiet, Hayden Man. What do you think?
I think this can all wait. The fate of the device can always be decided at a later time. It is much more important that we make our way out of this maze and awaken my people from stasis. An Imperial Star Cruiser is currently in orbit. It won't be long before they start sending troops down after us. After the chase we've led them, I think it's more than likely they'll set the odds heavily in their favor. We will need my people's help if we are to survive.
The man has a point. There could be a whole army crawling up our ass any minute. Making decisions about God Jr. here can wait. Let's get out of this behaviorist's nightmare and see what we can do about scaring up some reinforcements.
Pardon me for pouring cold water, but given the choice between facing an army of the Empire's finest or an army of augmented men, I think I'd rather face the Imperials. At least I've beaten them in the past, occasionally.
Panic doesn't suit you, Random. There's no need for fear. I will speak for you.
Yes, but will they listen? Your people have been asleep one hell of a long time. The last time they drew breath, they were fighting to destroy humanity and replace it with themselves. If they wake up with all their old instincts intact, we could be in real trouble.
You're already in real trouble. My people might or might not kill you, but the Empire definitely will. What happened to your nerve, Random? Time was you had a fondness for the long odds.
I got older, and unlike most of my contemporaries, I learned a few things along the way. Mostly about what happens to people who make deals with the devil.
You really don't have any choice, do you?
Moon looked around at the others with quiet triumph. Owen was careful not to point his gun at Moon. The Hayden man was probably just waiting for someone to start something so he could finish it. Getting this close to his people and his heritage had apparently done wonders for Moon's self-esteem. Hazel sniffed loudly.
Look, you men can shake your dicks at each other some other time. The device can wait. If only because awakening it is the only sure way to make all our problems even worse. First, let's get the hell out of the maze. This place gives me the creeps.
Damn right.
And they all turned to look at the Wolfling. There was something in the way he said that which implied he was just as shaken by the maze as they were. Bowen found that oddly reassuring. If something as big and extremely dangerous-looking as the Wolfling could be upset by the maze, he felt he had every right to feel upset, too. I agree with Hazel. Let's go.
Fine. Any idea which way?
Of course.
Hazel pointed immediately at an exit that looked no different from any of the others. She stopped and frowned.
Now, how did I know that?
It's the maze. You're different now, all of you. Your minds work in different ways. You'll discover more new abilities as time goes on.
Hazel looked back at Owen.
I don't think I like the sound of that.
Owen shrugged uneasily.
It's a bit late to worry now. Whatever it is, it's already happened.
You lead the way, Hazel. We'll follow. Hazel scowled, then turned abruptly and stalked off into the exit she'd chosen. Owen moved quickly to follow her, and the others trailed after him. The shimmering steel walls closed around him again, but this time the sense of oppression and claustrophobia was gone. The maze felt neutral, calm, as though it was no longer interested in him. He felt different, stronger, sharper, more capable. He felt it as a kind of quiet confidence more than anything else, as though whatever might happen now, he would be able to deal with it. Given the current situation, that disturbed him just a little. It wasn't natural to feel this calm under this kind of pressure. If the Empire didn't get him, the Haydenmen probably would. All in all, he currently had the life expectancy of a goldfish in a tank of piranha. Except, he didn't feel like a goldfish anymore. And then there was the Dark Void device. The vanisher of stars, the slaughterer of billions. He didn't like just walking away and leaving it, but he didn't know what else to do with it. Giles said it was safe and protected where it was, and Owen felt instinctively that his ancestor was right. He had no doubt the maze was quite capable of defending itself against unwanted intruders. He frowned, as something about that thought nagged at him. The maze killed most people who entered it, or drove them mad, but everyone in his party had come through safe and intact. The odds against that had to be unthinkably huge, which implied that it hadn't been chance at all. The maze had chosen to transform them all, for its own reasons. Owen liked that thought even less than his first one. He had no trouble thinking of the maze as alive and even aware, but to think of it as intelligent and making choices was distinctly disturbing. He felt suddenly like a very small animal moving through the bowels of some unimaginably huge beast. He shook his head. Whatever the truth, there was nothing he could do about it now. Except perhaps walk a little faster and change the subject. He deliberately concentrated on the Dark Void device again, even though it was only marginally less worrying. It was safe where it was, protected by an army of Haydn men, particularly as only a few people knew of its location. Certainly he couldn't think of anywhere safer. Owen tried very consciously to keep thinking of the device as it. He didn't want to think of it as a baby, or even human. That might make it harder for him to destroy the device if it became necessary.
Can you imagine what he might be capable of as a child, or as an adult? And what about the dead? Maybe he will bring them back.
Owen pictured an empire on fire. Planets burning like coals in the night. Humanity slaughtered and scattered by a power beyond comprehension or hope of reason or mercy. He couldn't allow that. He would kill the device if he had to. If it became necessary. And if the device would let him. He followed Hazel through the maze, twisting and turning down one passage after another. It no longer seemed random to him. He didn't need to wait for Hazel to choose. He knew the way out, too, on a level so deep and instinctive, he trusted it implicitly. It was as though he knew the maze from top to bottom, as though he'd always known it. He was still changing. He could feel it. The shimmering steel walls seemed somehow more significant, more purposeful than they had before. He could hear soft sounds on the edge of his hearing, quiet voices, like the maze whispering to itself. He could sense the soft flutter of moving energies all around him, the power of certain shapes, the subtle ongoing processes of transformation. He couldn't grasp the scale of it, not just because it was so vast, but because his mind instinctively retreated from it. He couldn't think that way and still be human. He tried to follow that thought to its inevitable conclusion, and then suddenly he was out of the maze, and his thoughts were swept away by reality crashing down on him again.
Where the hell have you been? I've been trying to make contact with you for the past 6 hours.
What are you talking about? We couldn't have been in there for more than 20 minutes at most.
Time moves differently in the maze.
Now he tells us.
They had all emerged from the maze now, and Owen could see the same expression on everyone's face. They were losing the scope and range of thought they'd had in the maze, and were becoming more narrowly focused, more human again. Owen decided he'd think about that later. All right, Oz, take a deep breath and tell me what's been happening.
What hasn't? The Imperial Star Cruiser has sent down mining engineers and equipment and blasted a path right down to the city. They found the old route the Haydenen used and just reopened it. No big deal with the kind of energy cannon they were using. They are currently on the other side of the maze, and when I say they, I mean a whole damn army. The Dauntless has been ferrying people down in pinnaces for hours. We're talking about Marines, battle experts, and even some Wampir, headed by an investigator. The captain himself has come down to personally see you all get your asses handed to you. They knew where to find us, Owen. They knew we were coming here. Someone told them.
They knew we were coming here. How could they have known? No one's had a chance to talk to the Empire.
We have a spy among us. This was all planned some time back. You were outlawed specifically to set in motion a train of events that would lead the Empire first to Chandrakor and then to the Dark Void device. You've been on a leash, Owen, and now they're pulling it in.
I can't believe this. Random looked from one blank face to another. The Empire's always been devious in its dealings, but none of us have any reason to betray the others. The Empire's our enemy. It wants us all dead. Not all of us. I am outlawed, with a price on my head. So are you and Hazel. And Moon's a Hayden man. They'd shoot him on sight on general principles. And we can count out Giles and the Wolfling for practical reasons. But Ruby Journey is a bounty hunter. When we first met her, she admitted she was hunting us on the Empire's behalf. We thought we'd outbid them, but the Empire has deep pockets. Isn't that right, Ruby?
No! Ruby's my friend. She wouldn't betray me like that. Tell them, Ruby.
What's the point? Look at them. They've already made up their minds.
I trusted you, Ruby. We all did. How could you?
Ruby Journey took a step back from the group, her gun suddenly in her hand.
Let's all remain calm and civilized.